Well, the water that flows from taps in Flint, Michigan is really bad, which is really good if you are in the business of selling bottled water to the residents of Flint, Michigan. Today, that business of bottling water leads us to ask, should water be a public or a private resource?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, hello out there. You are tuned into the 1,124th edition of the Food Chain Radio Program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Cetavecchio who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at MetroFarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with Flight Engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Jason's working the controls this morning. Also with us, we have producer Sarah Bell Lynn. Sarah Bell, welcome aboard. Have we got our flight plan filed?
We do indeed.
We do indeed. Folks, the municipal tap water of Flint, Michigan was recently found to contain unacceptable levels of lead. Despite improvements, few trust that tap water enough to drink it. The fear of municipal water is not restricted to that of disasters like Flint. It extends even to municipalities with good tap water, as residents have come to fear what may be in or what may have been added to their tap water. The fear of bad water is good if you happen to be in the business of selling bottled water. To get an idea of how good it can be, take a quick peek at the flow of drinking water money up there in the great state of Michigan. The Nestle Company, a Swiss multinational, pays the state of Michigan $200, that's $200, to extract hundreds of millions of gallons of pure Michigan groundwater, which it then sells back to the residents of Michigan in plastic bottles for hundreds of millions of dollars. Though the business plan is working out quite well for Nestle, some residents of Michigan and other states throughout the United States are beginning to ask, should water be a private or a public resource? Not here to help us today to tell the story is someone from the world's biggest food company, Nestle SA. So what did they tell us, Sarah Bell?
Well, Miranda Fox from the Story of Stuff told us that, according to the Desert Sun journalist news outlet, Nestle has been bottling groundwater and then selling it as mountain spring water.
There you go. And Nestle, we did invite Nestle to participate today, but they just could not make it for some reason, and that's the way of it. So here we are to tell the story. We were going to have Miranda Fox join us from the Story of Stuff, and hopefully our flight engineer, Jason Strubia, can wrestle her up. But until then, away we go. So bottled water, I guess I became really fascinated with this story when I read recently an account of the state of Michigan, what's going on up there. The state of Michigan charges a $200 administrative fee to the Nestle company for it to be able to pump water. Now it pumps millions and millions of gallons of water out of the groundwater in Michigan, puts it into bottles, plastic bottles, millions a day, and then sells them back to the people of Michigan for hundreds of millions of dollars every year. Wow, that is a ton of money for a little money. Think of the business plan, and it's a great business plan. So how did we become, here in the United States, so enamored with bottled water to the extent that a big company from Switzerland like Nestle can earn $4.5 billion a year selling us bottled water? And Nestle, of course, is just one of many companies that are doing it. So where on earth did we develop this thirst, this demand for so much fresh water? I can remember personally, many years ago, when, as a young California college student, I went back to visit the folks in Montana, and I introduced my father to Perrier, bubbly water, thinking it a great discovery from California that I could show off my wisdom, I guess. So my father looked at it, and he said, so you bought a bottle of water that came all the way from France, right? And what did you pay for it, young man? And I mentioned the price, which was, of course, then exorbitant as it is today. And he looked at me, and he said, you know, we have the best water in the world here. Comes from melting snow in Yellowstone Park. Pure as you can get it. Free, too. And you're telling me I should buy Perrier? Doesn't make any sense to me. But that being said, there was an industry there. And it's literally, in the last 20 years, it's exploded and it became incredible. So why did we become so enamored with bottled water? What is it that we demand bottled? Why can't we get it out of the tap? What's wrong with us here? Two things, I think, we can start with. One, of course, is what's in the tap water. And we look at places like Flint, Michigan, and the fact that the water in the taps was contaminated with lead from the pipes, but also all kinds of industrial contaminants as well. Nobody wants to drink the water from Flint, Michigan, even though the community has made some strides and some improvements. Nothing there. So we look at that, at what happened to Flint, and we wonder what's in our tap water. Have they put fluoride in it? You know, fluoride's an interesting substance. If you take pure fluoride and dump it on cement, it'll melt the cement. So we've been told, haven't tried it ourselves. But we hear of the things that they put in our water, and we scratch our head, and we don't know whether we want to go there or not. And so we don't. We look for tap water. And so Nestle SA, that big Swiss company, recognized that demand in us for clean water. And so the largest food packaging company in the world is making $4.5 billion on that fear we have of municipal tap water. And there it is. So, and you know, the interesting thing about those large companies is that the trend is against people buying packaged goods anymore. They just aren't buying them to the extent that they used to. So this bottled water is a great bright spot in the future of these companies. So where do those companies get our water that they put in the bottles? Well, it comes from spring water, comes from groundwater, and it comes from tap water. 25%, I think, of the water that we put in bottles comes from tap water. So there you have it. Nestle buys water for $200 from the state of Michigan, sells it back for hundreds of millions of dollars to the people of Michigan. And is that bad or is that good? Well, if you're in Flint, Michigan, and you're thirsty, it's a pretty darn good idea to be able to walk into a convenience store and buy a bottle of clean water. Or do you feel exploited by that? So there is a great concerted effort now by people like the folks at the Story of Stuff and Flow and other organizations to fight companies like Nestle for the water that's in the ground and in the streams and whatnot. But who should have access to that water? Who should own it? Should it be the people of the community, or should it be the accessible to companies like Nestle? That's the question we're going to hold dear today, try to figure out if we can find an answer. This is the Food Chain Radio Program. Michael Olson, well, we're looking for a guest today, and I guess that guest just might end up being you. We're at 831-479-1080. That's the phone number today, 831-479-1080. Question on the table today, who do you think should manage and control that water? in the ground, in our springs, on the surface water. There, you know, with respect to the water in the ground, it's open for everybody. All the people who own land have free and unfettered access to the water that's under their ground. The only thing they really need to pay for is the well to extract it. The rest is free. So the question today is, who should own it? Who should be able to pump that water out? And what if they pump it all out, as they seem to be doing in Michigan? What will be left for the rest of us? Those are the questions today. Join us here at 831-479-1080, 831-479-1080. Looking for the folks from the Story of Stuff, but they might not show up, but who cares, because we have you, and you have us. 831-479-1080, Food Chain Radio Program, Michael Olson, and you. Pick up your phone, join us, 831-479-1080. Let's have some fun talking water.
You can dream it, build it, own it. Metro Farm It. You can sow it, feed it, grow it. Metro Farm It. Ah, you can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it. Metro Farm It.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it. Metro Farm It. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it. Earn it. Own it. Metro Farm It.
Oh, learn it. Do it. Earn it. Metro Farm It. Dream it. Build it. Own it. It's easy. You can do it. Metro Farm It.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy. You can do it. Metro Farm It. And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. I am Michael Olson. You are tuned into the Food Chain Radio Program. Rumor has it we do have a guest, Miranda Fox, from the Story of Stuff, waiting for her to log up on the boards here, and away we go. Well, there it is. I guess we do have her. Ready to go. We have the thumbs up, and I'll press the button. Not yet. There you go. Well, folks, today we're talking water, and we're talking water with you. We're talking water about, essentially, we're talking about the water we put in bottles, and the bottles that we pay big bucks for. Gosh, Nestle alone, is making $4.5 billion a year bottling water and selling it to us. With us, I do believe we have Miranda Fox. Miranda, are you there?
Hi, I am.
You are here. Great. Really quick background. You're a campaigns manager with the Story of Stuff. That must mean you manage more than one campaign, right?
Yeah, that's right. I work on water bottling campaigns in San Bernardino, California, in Mecosta County and Osceola Counties in Michigan. And I'm also involved in a few other fights from Mount Shasta to Montana. So, yeah, we're busy.
Busy. And what is it about bottled water that you don't like?
Well, bottled water is kind of a manifestation of what we call manufactured demand. It's something that we really don't need, but the industry has created a product that people now feel that they do need. And bottled water essentially is a form of privatization, which means that a private company is taking a public good, water, and turning it into something that we pay a lot more money for than we would if we were to just turn on our taps and fill up a glass.
It's a sneaky way of privatizing a common commodity then, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, do you think that the bottling companies actually deliberately mess with our minds with respect to how we see municipal water?
Well, you know, I don't want to say exactly what bottled water companies do, but they definitely benefit from the perception that tap water and municipal water isn't safe, even though around 50% of bottled water actually is just filtered tap water. So absolutely, they do benefit from the perception that, that water isn't safe.
What percentage was that?
It's around 50%.
50%?
Mm-hmm.
So one out of every two bottled waters we buy for a lot of money is actually just tap water?
It's actually just tap water. And for a 16-ounce or 12-ounce bottle, around 2,000 times more expensive than the same amount you get from the tap.
2,000 times more expensive?
Yes, and actually that's at 1 gallon of bottled water. If you were to sell it in 16-ounce bottles, costs 2,000 times more than 1 gallon of tap water.
So, but is that bad? I mean, I was asking earlier, before we brought you up, if you're, walking down the street of Flint, Michigan, and get really thirsty, and you had a choice between paying a buck or so for some bottled water or drinking out of a tap, I'm thinking you probably paid the buck, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have situations like Flint, Michigan, we're obviously not saying that people should be drinking contaminated water. So in that case, of course, if you're thirsty and you need water, you're going to, purchase that out of a bottle. One of the things that's interesting about Flint is, they've gone on for years without water that they can use. And rather than bringing in large tankers, water buffaloes they're called, so that people can bring large 5 gallon reusable containers to fill up, instead people are being given 12-ounce bottles. And that's not an efficient way or a just way to deal with that kind of situation.
Or just. Well, let's pick up some comments from our listening public, and we'll start with Ben. Ben, welcome to the Food Chain Radio program.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
I work in the water industry. I work for a municipality, water treatment. I run treatment plants.
Mm-hmm.
And licensed by the state for distribution and treatment. And what I've learned about this whole situation with the bottled water deal, bottom line is this. For any company to distribute water of their own making, taking it from the riparian areas that they call the rights, water rights of different municipalities, they have to go through a treatment process, and they have to be licensed. Not only that, they go through stringent, oversight from the Department of Health. And so they're pretty regulated, and it's pretty safe. On the other hand, water rights work for all the different municipalities and cities and counties. If the water is within their zone, they have the right to farm that water and distribute it to the public. They used to do it back in the day with drinking fountains. You could go up to a drinking fountain and fill up a 5 gallon jug all day long. The rules with the Department of Health, they changed because of the bacteria rule, that I believe the reason why they took out, and nobody really talks about this in the industry, we do, because we've always wondered ourselves amongst our coworkers, why they might have gotten rid of all the free drinking fountains that used to be all over the towns and whatnot, was due to the fact that they were worried about contamination and contamination getting back into the distribution system wherever these drinking fountains were. And rather than have that happen, they decided, I think, to get rid of the drinking fountains. Now, as far as that Nestle goes, Nestle probably has a factory. That factory would probably be in an area where they're sucking the water from Lake Michigan. And the only way they could get away with that is they would have to become their own private district or a special district municipality, or they then could be a water supplier like a municipality. And if that would be worth looking into in of itself, and maybe looking into whether they have licensed treatment and distribution operators running those plants to make sure that they're on board with the Department of Health and everything. But I don't see anything wrong personally with people bottling water, because the whole mission in the water industry is to supply safe drinking water to anybody, anywhere, anytime. Whether you pay for it or not, that's up to you. It's your decision.
Well, let me ask you, Ben, Why are people so afraid of municipal water?
There's nothing wrong with municipal water. We're the guidelines we operate under are so strict. If we make miscalculations and whatnot, like what happened in Flint, Michigan, that people went to prison, you know, and there was the people that were doing the oversight locally were basically corrupt. That can happen in a city that's dead broke and there's a lot of corruption. But you won't find that anywhere in California. California is one of the hardest states to get licensed. And you jump through hoops, like I can't even tell you.
What happens if California goes broke? We'll be susceptible to the same thing.
Well, the thing is this. Water and food, those are the things that the state regulates, especially water. It's a health issue, and we'll never be without water. The money will come in from the government, worst-case scenario, if people can't pay for their water bills. The water is still going to flow. It's never going to not flow.
Miranda, what do you say? It's always going to be free, and it's always going to be good.
It's always going to be there.
All right, thank you, Ben.
One more thing.
Yeah, really quickly.
Everyone's always worried about the water shortage. The transpiration and the whole hydrologic system and everything, when the water evaporates from the ocean, goes up into the mountains and comes back down to replenish the aquifer, that will always continue forever. We're covered in 8% of the planet covered in water. There's never going to be a water shortage. It's a misnomer. If anything, the water shortage fear is more about moving populations around and density. They're manipulating information to keep density low.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the comment. We're running out of time. Got to take a quick break. We'll pick that up with Miranda Fox when we return. This is The Food Chain. Michael Olson, 831-479-1980. Water.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
With Michael Olson and Miranda Fox, who is a campaigns manager with the Story of Stuff Project. One of the campaigns that we notice that you're working on, Miranda, is the Unbottled Water campaign. What exactly do you intend to do with unbottling water?
Well, we're hoping that people will choose to stop buying bottled water in plastic bottles and instead opt to get a reusable container if they need to take water with them and rely on their municipal water, because in most cases municipal water is very safe to drink. It's highly regulated, and we don't think that buying water in plastic bottles is something that people should or need to be doing.
Well, one of the things about municipal water is that people are afraid of some of the stuff that they're putting into it, which we'll use as a segue to go to Lee. Lee, welcome to the Food Chain Radio Program.
Good morning. I was blessed to hear a report that came out of Infowars.com on fluoridation in our water systems and how toxic that is. And a lot of people don't know that it's even being put into the water. And Hitler did it on his minion, and it knocks down your IQ to begin with. Just that is enough to say no for that. But the subject that I come to you today is you started off with Nestle. And Governor Jesse Ventura and a lady, I forget, she's a researcher, her name's Lauren, I can't think of her last name, but they did a video on that, and that 7,000 island or acre honey reserve that they have their deep well pumps in, they were charging ocean-going bladders that would be brought in on tugs, and they were hauling that water out of the country, I believe, to China. And then they found that they couldn't do it or something, and so they went to bottling water. And then Governor Jesse Ventura, in his videos, showed the estuaries backing up, drying up, and the water mass is now been transported 180 degrees or over to China, so it may not ever recharge itself.
Are you telling me that Nestle is shipping water to China?
That's what the video revealed.
Miranda, have you ever heard of that?
You know, I don't know that Nestle ships water to be bottled in China. I know that Nestle does most of its bottling within the regions where they pump the water. But it's true that once that water is bottled and shipped off, you know, it's consumed wherever it's purchased. And so that water is not going back into the ecosystem and recharging those aquifers. And in places where Nestle has been pumping, they have registered and studied that there has been a decline in those aquifers.
How is it possible that we can be bottling water in Fiji or Norway and drinking it here? It just doesn't make any sense, does it?
Well, I don't think so. You know, that's one of the reasons that we are working on this campaign, because, you know, water that's in Fiji needs to stay in Fiji. And we have plenty of water here that's safe to drink, and we don't need to, you know, be shipping it across the world so that we can carry it around with us in plastic bottles.
Jack, what do you think?
Hi, let me get it off speaker here.
Oh, yes. Please do.
I got it off speaker so you can hear me better.
Good, thank you.
I was in the water treatment business for about 2 decades, and I like them, was also licensed in both treatment and distribution. And I'd like to reiterate that tap water is safe, that it's very highly regulated. It's safe to drink, but it doesn't necessarily mean it tastes good. And that's what leads me to it. It's a little more complicated. I think people buy the bottled water mostly because it tastes better than the tap water. So I feel there's a couple ways to go about that. You could either filter your own tap water or continue to buy the bottled water. Or what I'd suggest is use like a reusable 5-gallon container and go to either a water store or like to Safeway has vendors and buy your purified water there. I could also tell you if there's time, some of the process that goes into the bottled water.
You know, what I'm curious about is what you folks are putting in the water at the water treatment plant. You put in chlorine, I know, because I can smell the chlorine. But what about the fluoride and, I don't know, what else you put in there? Didn't put in
Santa Cruz County does not fluoridate, thankfully. And the city of Santa Cruz actually uses chloramine, which is a combination of chlorine and ammonia. And so there are disinfection chemicals that are put in the water, and they serve their purpose to keep the distribution system, free of bacteria. In my opinion is that it has done its job up to the point of use, and at that point, myself, I like to remove those disinfection chemicals so I don't consume them.
And you do that with a how?
Well, I have used reverse osmosis, a little under-sink unit. There's also gravity-fed units that are available. There's various ways of filtering, you know, the water. In fact, that's how a lot of the bottling companies and the water stores, a lot of people say, well, it's tap water. Well, it's true. It comes in, but it's filtered, and it goes through reverse osmosis. But a lot of times ozonization, and then, they will use ultraviolet after it goes through carbon filtration. So it's very purified. It's very costly because it's very energy intensive, and there's quite a bit of wastewater through the RO system, reverse osmosis. The bottling companies will add calcium carbonate and magnesium oxide, which are minerals that make it more like a spring water. There were minerals.
Give it a little taste, a spring-like taste.
Exactly. Some of them are just plain tap water.
So, Jack, let me ask you this: What happened to Flint, Michigan? If municipal water is safe, what happened to
that? I was going to say that is criminal. What happened there? There is nothing else can be said. And like Ben said, people went to prison over that, as they should have. That should never happen in a municipal system.
But it did.
That is horrible. These things have happened in the past, and this is another reason why people don't have faith in the municipal system.
And is that not the big issue? You know, we see those of us who live in the cities and, you know, wander around with our heads in, you know, in front of these computer screens all day and we don't know what we're doing and, you know, we have no idea where food comes from, much less water. And we see something like that, which happened in Flint, Michigan. I mean, that kind of works out in favor of all of those bottling companies pretty well, doesn't it? And against municipals.
It sure does. It is quite an anomaly. It's almost like the what I call the shark effect. You know, you hear of one shark attack and everyone's afraid to go in the water, where shark attacks are relatively rare. It's the same with this. But I'll be honest with you, I haven't drank water straight out of the tap in years. I've changed too many filters to see what kind of crud is in there. It's safe, but like you said, it's a matter of taste. And
okay, good.
And
that's
a filter just to be safe.
There you go. Thank you very much for that comment. And from a water pro, and when we come back, we're going to continue with Miranda Fox. She's the campaigns manager on bottled water with the Story of Stuff Project. And you as well, 831-479-1080 is the phone number. Pick up your phone. What do you think, bottled water or municipal water? Right back.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Michael Olson and Miranda Fox, campaigns manager at the Story of Stuff Project. Miranda, you often speak of water as being a commons. What do you mean by a commons?
A commons is something that we kind of talk about as something that belongs to all people. And when I say belongs to, I'm not really saying that we own water, but it's something that we should all have access to enjoy recreationally and to drink and to use. And we say that water should be managed under the public trust doctrine, which means that the government serves as a trustee of our shared resources like water, and citizens are then the beneficiaries of that trust.
You know, you, as a graduate of UC Santa Barbara, I happen to notice that, did you ever take a class from the ecologist Garrett Hardin?
I did not, actually. Perhaps you could tell me more about that.
Well, he was very famous for a couple of things, one of which was this economic theory of the tragedy of the commons. And,
yes.
And the tragedy of the commons essentially says that if you have a common resource, and he used the English common pasture, you know, you have a village, everybody has an animal or two, everybody gets to raise their critter in the common pasture. Now, if there is nobody there to say you can have X number of animals and whatnot, one person might have 50 animals and another person only might have two, and yet the destruction wrought upon the pasture is shared by all. And that being the tragedy of the commons. If people are left to their own devices, everybody will grab and get as much as they possibly can. And when we look at what's going on in Michigan with respect to Nestle pumping water out of the ground to sell back to Michigan in plastic bottles, those people who live in that community are looking at the creeks drying up. And is that not a tragedy of the commons?
It absolutely is. And one of the issues in Michigan is that the state government is really not stepping in and telling Nestle that they need to be regulated. And, of course, they're in the process right now, Nestle, of trying to increase the amount of water that they're taking. And that's been a big fight for the people of Michigan, trying to get their Department of Environmental Quality to actually tell Nestle that, you know, you need to actually study what you're doing and see what kind of impacts you're having on the environment, because the people living in the area are seeing the physical changes in the environment, where their streams are drying up, like you said.
But wait. If Michigan puts a 5 cent a gallon tax on the water Nestle extracts from the ground, who's going to pay that?
Well, the company would ideally be responsible for actually paying for the water that they're taking, because right now they're only paying a $200 administrative fee per year for the water that they take, and that's all. Whereas, you know, most people spend more on that in just a month or two on their water bills. And so ideally, if Nestle was paying for the water they were taking, that money could go back into improving public infrastructure or, going into protecting the environment.
Okay. What about the consumer, though? I mean, if Nestle has to pay more for the water, all they're going to do is put the tag on the extra costs to those people who buy bottled water in Flint, Michigan, or wherever they happen to be in Michigan.
Sure, that is usually the result of higher taxes. And, you know, if people were actually paying the true cost of what that bottle of water is doing to the environment, to the communities where they're taking it, perhaps they would rethink, purchasing that bottle to begin with.
Then they would think, maybe I will drink the water in Flint, tap water in Flint, Michigan, right?
Well, hopefully not in Flint, but in general, yes.
Oh, my goodness, what do we do? Well, a tough question when you think about it. If you do take the water away from Nestle, who purchased the land so it could extract the water, then won't you be doing the same thing for everybody else in Michigan who owns land and extracts water from the land? I have some farmer friends here in California who I think would threaten a revolution over that one.
Sure, absolutely. One of the things we look at is whether or not water is going back into the environment after it's used. So, and we don't necessarily advocate for a tax on bottled water, but if you're looking at it that way, water that's being taken out for agriculture or other uses essentially gets put back to the land and back into the aquifers where it's taken, versus bottled water, like we were discussing earlier, it comes out of the ground, it gets shipped off, and it's never returned.
Or it goes somewhere. It goes somewhere on Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
And things have a way of getting around on the Earth with respect to water. You know, it evaporates, goes up into the air, and falls down someplace else. Tough question. So, what do you think the residents of Michigan should do?
Well, I think that the residents in Michigan who have been advocating for further study for Nestle to take responsibility for the effects that it is having on the environment and for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality to actually do its job and regulate and pay attention to what's going on versus allowing Nestle to do its own studies, for example.
Because if people are left to their own devices, they'll grab and get as much as they possibly can, and that'll be that. And that will be the tragedy of the commons, right?
That would be the tragedy of the commons. So the people of Michigan are standing up and fighting back, and they're asking their government.
We're going to have to take a quick break, Miranda, but when we come back, I'm going to ask how you fight back. Do you drink municipal water? Right back.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get two friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get two friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is two numbers. One is two, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge two local bucks each day. Get two others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at MetroFarm.com.
2x2. So much to say, so little time to say it. On the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Well, you know, when you think about it, it's absolutely crazy to pay big bucks for water in a plastic container. Just absolutely crazy. And yet we do it. And we buy a lot of it. One company, Nestle alone, makes $4.5 billion a year satisfying our need for water in plastic bottles. Incredible. Why do we do it? We do it because it's convenient. There it is, right there on the shelf. Grab it, buy it, drink it. There your thirst has been quenched. We also do it because of fear. We don't know what they put in the municipal water system, so we run for the bottle. Miranda Fox, what do you do?
Well, I'm fortunate to live in a place where the water coming out of my tap is clean, and so I use my tap water. I drink it at home. I use it for my cooking. I have a reusable water bottle that I bring with me when I go hiking or I go out of the house. And I'm also fortunate that my water tastes pretty good, so I don't use a filter. But if it didn't taste good, then that would be what I would do. I would, rather than putting, you know, $30 a month or $50 or $100 into plastic bottles and small containers, I would put that money toward a reusable filter.
Okay, there you go. And what do you recommend for the rest of it? You know, it seems to me very important that we really husband our municipal water systems. And what can we as consumers do to, you know, kick butt? You know, if we find somebody like Flint, Michigan, that's a criminal enterprise, maybe we should string them up or something. I don't know. Because that's an awful valuable resource, is it not?
It absolutely is. And, you know, one of the reasons it's so important that we don't put our purchasing power into bottled water is that because we should be supporting our public municipal water systems because, of you know, of course, those systems also cost money to run. So if nobody is using that water, then that's when those systems start to fail like they did in Detroit and in Flint. So it's very important to support public municipal systems and to you know, use that water, because if we're not, that it becomes very easy for those systems to start to fail.
Good. We're going to go very quickly to Art. Art, we got about a minute. Fire away.
Hey, I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to condense it down. Several of my friends work for Cal Am, and they told me over the years, don't drink the water. Now, these are guys that work for the company, and why would they be telling me that? So it's because of all the ingredients that they put in there. I heard there's an ingredient they put in there to protect the pipes in low quantities, and yet we're drinking it. You can taste the difference between Cal Am water and any water that you buy from a really good filtration system, not plastic bottles. You can go to stores like the Waterworks in Pacific Grove and get really highly filtered water, and it tastes so much better. And all the contaminants are taken out.
So you're saying that they put materials in the municipal water system to prevent leaks in pipes?
This is what I was told by employees who work and would be knowledgeable of this, who work at the municipal water company that services the lower Monterey Peninsula called Cal.
Thank you for the call, Art. Miranda, have you ever heard of such a thing?
Absolutely. Those are called anti-corrosive agents, and they are used to prevent things like the lead water crisis from happening in Flint. That's actually why Flint's water became poisonous, because the anti-corrosive agents weren't being used properly, and the pipes started to corrode, which poisoned the water. So there are chemicals that are used in tap water to keep it actually safe for drinking, because if they're not used...
I'm confused now, Miranda. But thank you for joining us on the Food Chain. Thank you all out there for tuning in. Remember Michael Olson's second law of the food chain. The farther you go from the source of your food, the less control you have over what's in your food. Thank you.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.